In the name of Christ, the great physician of our souls. Several years ago, a call came into the church office where I was serving as pastor, a man requesting to speak to a pastor. And so the secretary referred the phone call to me, and I talked to this man. I asked him his name, but he was reluctant to give it to me. He said that he had grown up as a Missouri Synod Lutheran, and in fact had even attended Lutheran school, but for the past 15 years or so hadn't set foot in a church. But he said he wanted to talk to a pastor because he lived pretty close to our church and had noticed the building. He tried this church first of all. And so I invited him to come and visit with me in my office. But he said, "No, I don't want to come to your church. Will you please come to my apartment that we might meet together?" And so I agreed. The next day, I went to that apartment and immediately was struck by how run down this building was. As I entered into the apartment building itself, I was overwhelmed with the squalor and the trash everywhere, almost unlivable conditions. And then I saw the man. He was probably about 28, 29 years old, but he really looked as if he could have been in his late 40s or even in his 50s, frail and thin. He wore about a week's growth of whiskers, and the clothes were so dirty they looked like they hadn't been changed for about a week as well. And it was clear that he was high on drugs or alcohol. There were whiskey bottles strewn all over the room. And then he sat down and without much small talk got to the point of our visit. He said, "Pastor, I am an addict. I'm unemployed. I'm a homosexual who is dying of AIDS. And my family has disowned me. I don't feel like I'm worth anything in the world. In fact, I sometimes wonder if life is worth living. I couldn't come to your office at the church because I don't think I could ever set foot in a church again. But the reason I've called you here is I want you to answer for me one question. And that question is this: how does God see me? What does God think of when he sees me?" Well, how would you have responded to that? What would your reply have been? Today in our text from Matthew chapter 9, we receive an answer to that question as we ourselves ask the question, how does God see me? What does Jesus think of me? And we see ourselves mirrored in a man named Matthew. And so let us ask that question, how does God see me? The first answer that our text gives is that God sees us as human beings, as those created in his image, and as having great worth and value. Verse 9 begins, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth." Now notice here Matthew's gospel explicitly says that he saw a man, an anthropon. Now you might say, well, that's not all that significant, but perhaps it is because when you compare it with the other synoptic writers, Mark and Luke, they don't say that Jesus saw a man. Like Luke says, Jesus saw a tax collector. And most of the society at that day looked at the tax collectors and didn't see men, didn't see human beings. But Matthew says, Jesus looked at me, and notice here, Matthew is the one who's writing it about himself. He says, Jesus looked at me and saw a man, a human being, one with worth. You see, the Jewish society at that time, and especially the religious establishment, perceived tax collectors to be lower than human, almost subhuman. They were the crooks, they were the thieves, they were the robbers, the extortioners. And thus they were pariahs, more like dogs than men, the scum of the earth. The Pharisees referred to the tax collectors, as we see later in our text, as sinners. And this is a technical term for those who are outcast from God and outcast from the community of God, and without any hope of being brought into that community. They're those beyond hope, these sinners. That's how others looked at Matthew. But here we see Jesus looked at Matthew as a man, as a human being with great dignity and worth, so much so that Jesus valued fellowship with him, associating with him, talking with him, even meal fellowship. And in the ancient world, meal fellowship meant acceptance, friendship, even intimacy. Jesus looked at Matthew and he saw a man to be loved. And Jesus did just that. He loved him. He valued him. A Western reporter was once trailing Mother Teresa through the streets of Calcutta, India, observing her ministry in order that he might write an article for an American magazine. And he watched her as she would go from place to place throughout the streets of Calcutta, serving these poor and destitute peoples. Finally, she came to a man who was so wrought with leprosy that you could hardly even tell that he was a man. He was so deformed. And Mother Teresa went to him and enveloped him with her arms and began ministering to his needs. And this Western reporter turned away in revulsion at that sight and said, "I wouldn't do that for $1,000,000. Mother Teresa looked up at him and said, "And neither would I." You see, because Mother Teresa had the eyes of Christ, she looked at this man and saw one worth much more than $1,000,000, of infinite worth, one to be loved as God loved him. And so, first of all, how does God see us as human beings, those made in his image, dearly loved and valued? But secondly, our text here says that God looked at Matthew. Jesus looked at Matthew and looks at us and sees those who are sick, sick with the illness of sin. We continue. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You know, the Pharisees were right on one point. Matthew was a sinner. He was thoroughly infected with that ultimate illness of sin. And because of this, the Pharisees wanted to distance themselves from him. He is a sinner, to separate themselves from that sickness. In fact, the word Pharisee means the separated ones, but not Jesus, because Jesus had come to be the doctor, the physician, the healer, to attend to this sick man. He had come to heal. And this physician makes house calls too. Jesus just doesn't wait for the sick to come to his office. He goes to them. Notice he takes the initiative here. Matthew didn't seek him out. Jesus sought Matthew out. and found him in that despicable place of business, the tax collector's booth. He makes house calls because he cares, and he wants to bring healing because he's the physician. He seeks to cure, not just the physical ailments, oh, Jesus did plenty of that, but he has come primarily to heal the spiritual condition, the soul, to forgive us of our sins. In fact, Jesus' healing ministry is always connected with the healing of the sinner. The pericope just immediately preceding our text here describes a paralytic man brought to Jesus. And before Jesus does anything, before Jesus even heals him physically, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And of course, the Pharisees are scandalized by this. They say, "Only God can forgive sins." And so Jesus says to them, "Well, then, which is easier? To say to this man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Take up your pallet and walk'? But in order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to him, 'Rise and walk.'" And he did, showing that Jesus is the healer not only of the body, but most of all of the soul, of the spirit, of our sinful condition. How does Jesus heal us? Well, it's through a type of blood transfusion. He takes into himself all of our bad blood, if you will, all of our sinfulness, all of our infection of iniquity, and he suffers its terminal consequences on the cross. And that shed blood of his from the cross now comes to us, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We are made righteous and whole and healthy in God's eyes. Paul says, "God made him," Christ, "who had no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through him." And that then brings us to the last way in which God looks at us. We who have been united with Christ in baptism, in faith, he sees us as righteous, as holy, as saints. And he accepts us as he accepts his own righteous Son. Which then brings us back to that original question asked by the addict, the unemployed, homosexual, AIDS-infected man. "How does God see me?" he asked. My answer was this: "Friend, God sees you as he sees me, as a sinner, as infected with this disease of sin. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, even the worst. And you are no worse than I am, because we all fall far short of God's perfect and holy standard. If you will see yourself, first of all, as God sees you, as a sinner, and acknowledge and confess that, but then, even more importantly, see God for who he really is, your Savior, your healer, your physician from sin, you can know that you are forgiven and right with him, because God is merciful and just and will forgive you of all your unrighteousness." This man did not really indicate to me whether he accepted those words or not. He then dismissed me, and after that visit, I never saw him again. About a week later, I went back to the apartment for a follow-up, but the apartment had been vacated, and I had no way of following up, knowing where he went. But my prayer is that the message of the gospel, the message of healing got through, and that he believed it and received the gift that God had for him. And the gift that God has for you of healing. Amen.